The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to the radio show, Connect It, brought to you by BTC, Rolls Auto, and Menchie's Frozen Yogurt. I'm your host, Lester R. Cox. Folks, Connect It is an ideas-driven show with a global perspective that links difference makers and forward thinkers, and we put them in conversations about life, politics, and pop culture. I believe we talk because we have something to say. We should listen because there are things we don't know and can learn. When you put talking and listening together, great things can happen. Because in that small space between talking and listening, change, new possibilities can occur. I invite you to show up in some public place. Step in and speak up, even if your voice shakes. Our collective greatness depends on it. More importantly, the answers that we seek, they're already in us. First, the Spotlight Memo. Say what you want to say and let the words fall out. Honestly, I want to see you be brave. What you want to say and let the words fall out. Honestly, I want to see you be brave. I just want to see you. I just want to see you. Just want to see you. Folks, I run a talk show, and I can tell you something. When you run a talk show in the Bahamas, you get all kind of interesting conversations. People will call you up, and they will just tell you, sometimes, like, if you see my boy Shivago call me up, he say, bro, you don't have the facts, or you need to think about this. Or someone like a Pat Ramey will call you up and say, you need to think about this, and I know you can think about this if you stayed up all night. Or you may get somebody who call you up and they tell you some things you need to be thinking about tomorrow. The point is, though, when you run a talk show, don't think you're smart, because you're not smart enough. You have to be open, you have to be humble to learn from all sorts of different people. And that's what I'm learning more and more every day as I host this show. I'm also learning, because I would get a call from time to time from this guy named Professor Tinker. And when he called, he would just say, bro, you think Bahamians are the smartest people in the world? Like, here's why they're not the smartest. And then he'll tell me something like, well, why y'all can't think about what to do with your port? Why you can't think about this? Why you can't think about that? What all these things do is they broaden your perspective. They cause you to think about the things that you're thinking about in a wider way. You see, because the things I like to think about is I think the Bahamas should have a strategy as a country. It doesn't matter who the government is. The country has a strategy. The country has a set of values. You know why the Americans, you know why they don't torture people in America? Because it goes against the core values of the nation. And so what their evil government would do sometimes is they would torture people in the UAE, or they would torture people in Cuba. They just don't do it in America. But countries should be driven by a set of values. When you see, like, the Republicans, they want to reorganize healthcare. They want to repeal and replace Obamacare. Whenever you see politicians, whether they're Republicans or PLPs or FNMs or DNAs, whenever you see politicians doing things in secret, whenever they got to seal stuff, it's because they know fundamentally that what they're doing goes against the core values of the nation. And this is why I hate secrecy in government. I hate it. Government should be open. We should know everybody who's getting paid in government, every single person, every single deal we should know. And this is why we've been putting tremendous pressure on this government to reveal everything. I want to know what those consultants who work for the Ministry of Tourism, the foreign ones, I want to know how much they're getting paid as well. They should not get a free pass. No consultant in this country should get a free pass. Everybody should have to justify how they add value to this country. I want you to think about that. I was listening to Carlton's show yesterday, and you know, whenever Fee and Thompson come on, I pay attention. Because Wiley and I, we agree on some things, we disagree on a lot of things. But this idea that you need a truth and reconciliation type commission for this country, that is important. We need, just like Nelson Mandela had it in South Africa, a different thing. But for how and who get to use our resources, we need to have some kind of truth and reconciliation. This shouldn't just be some political nonsense up and down. This need to be a core Bahamas reset. Every single person who getting money from this government, we need to know. And then we need to decide where we go from here. See, like next week, I'm going to be dealing a bit with BTC. Because initially when the Ingram administration was deciding to sell BTC, I put a half page ad in The Guardian. Long story, telling them why this is such stupidness. And these same old timers, they could come back. Talking about, we're going to sell the shares of BTC in Alive. And, you know, fundamentally, you know, I got a challenge with that too. Because the conversation during the election was not about BTC and Alive. The conversation was about corruption and transparency. And so I think when the government is going to get rid of the only asset that it has that's liquid, I think this is a conversation we should have in a wider way. Because I'll tell you, this is why I don't really like business people running my country. I want politicians to run my country, not business people. Because business people, all they're thinking about is revenue and expenses. We need to have some conversations, especially on this economy. And I want you to really think about this, folks. This ain't political for me. This is about country. We need a location strategy. We need honest and open government. And we need a government that's trading with the world. We don't need to hear people like the BFSB talking about how great the financial services sector is and they're not known for anything important. 83 or 88. You can't be important when you're 83 or 88. You're important when you're like New York and London, where the world needs you. You're important like when you're in San Francisco, you're in Silicon Valley, you're driving companies like Facebook, WhatsApp. That's when you're important. We got to figure out how to be important in the spaces that we want to occupy. We need now in the Bahamas truth and reconciliation. You think about it. And now, today's poll question. All right, folks, this is a simple poll question for you. Do we need truth and reconciliation in the Bahamas, a commission? I'm looking for 3 responses from you today. Yes, Lester, we need some truth and reconciliation around here. Real truth. Or no, Lester, bro. Our boys in power now. We could do it just how we want to do it. Or, Lester, think about this. The numbers to call if you want in on this conversation, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. My text line, 4224796. All right, here we go. Let's see what we got going on here. I think we need to be deleting these texts right here. All right, hold on 1 sec. I didn't post a poll question. No one's on the line. So Simba, give it a drum roll. Folks, it's Idea Friday, and if it's Idea Friday, PR extraordinaire, ideas woman, Di Phillips is normally in the house. Di, always a pleasure to have you in the studio.
Thank you, Lester. I was away last week, as you know.
Yeah, I see that. You're moving around doing things all over the country.
Well, I was in Freeport, and then I was in Bimini the same day. And what you were talking about with secrecy and government is what led to what's happened in Bimini right now.
And what's happening in Bimini?
Well, I went for a town hall meeting, went to cover it, and The crowd was stunning, just in number alone. They've never had a crowd like that.
Yeah, but you only got like 10 people in Bimini.
Yeah, right. Well, then 200 showed up. So I guess they brought everybody who used to live there before and, you know, everybody they knew. People said it was phenomenal. They had never seen anything like it. And there were people outside. This school auditorium was fully packed. They kept bringing in more chairs, and then there was standing room only, and then there were people still outside. And it was interesting because there were the golf carts that were lined up. There were the trucks. There were people who came by bicycle. I mean, it just showed that it was a total cross-section of people. What were they there about? They want to know, because they don't know from central government, which rules places like Bimini and says you will have such and such a development, even though you didn't participate in deciding whether you wanted such and such a development.
Right.
So they want to know what the plans are for the next phases of what RAV is doing and Resorts World Bimini. And I did an environmental tour the following morning. I was totally stunned. I mean, I think I'm still reeling from it. From what I am told, the destruction of the mangroves that I saw. Remember the wetlands, the mangroves.
Right,
they're the nursery for fish.
No, that's okay.
I know.
And for this hemisphere.
Yes, right. And you can't say we're just going to fill in the wetland. What I understand is that the wetlands that I saw that were destroyed constituted 163 acres. Now, I also understand that it's against the law to destroy a mangrove. So how do you get away with
it? It is?
So I understand. Maybe somebody will call in and...
I didn't know that.
But the wetlands are supposed to be protected. So how do you destroy 163 acres? People want to know how much longer this is going to go on. What else is going to be sacrificed? Some people said yes, but Resorts World Bimini has provided jobs for Bahamians. Others said, but it's not the economy or the environment. The economy can benefit from a good green environment. You look at a state like Massachusetts, which has added 100,000 jobs in the last year in the green economy. Whoa. And so
now that's my kind of talk right there.
Right. And social entrepreneurship, because Lester, I think what you said before is businesses just care about the bottom line. And they say, if we don't care about business, then how are we going to buy our groceries or accomplish anything else?
No, don't get me wrong. I love business.
I know you do.
Oh, correct. I just think that we ought to be careful.
But you also resent it.
No, not at all.
You resent the success sometimes.
No, never. I love success.
Oh, good.
I just don't want business people running up and down in my government thinking that government is a business, because it's not a business.
Well, think of it this way. If government owned less and leased more and allowed more privatization, which I think you're going to hear more of, in terms of antiquities and forts and so forth. I mean, the Prime Minister yesterday was touring the forts and talking about
right.
this. And it's a subject that's very, very close to my heart, as you know.
I gotcha.
The minute I start talking about it, I mean, I think you can see the passion and everything. But there's so much that could go on the forts. Restaurants surrounding a fort with beautiful lighting at night, entertainment complexes, cultural and experiences, souvenir shops, field trips for kids. We don't have to think of a museum or a fort or any of the ancient buildings that we have. We call them ancient. They're a few hundred years old. They're not right. ancient by international standards. But we don't have to think of them as kind of dead spots where a kid gets dragged in a field trip and says, okay, Jack
did that.
Think of them as being alive.
Correct.
They're incredible, these buildings.
Correct. And you see, don't get me wrong, I'm all for privatization. I love privatization. I just got a challenge with the government trying to pick the winners and losers, because we know a government can never pick a Sinead Miller or what's the name of the guy from Moore's Island? Stevie Gardner. Governments just don't do that well. What governments need to do is step back mm-hmm. and get their governmental act together.
Well, they need
and leave the economy to some to, leave the economy to like a CEO. Like we, just like our minister said, I think the best idea minister ever had in his history. Well, I think minister had two great ideas in the history of his political career.
What's that?
CEO, Prime Minister, uh-huh. and the theme that he came up with called the People's Time. Now yeah. I don't know what the People's Time. I can't wait to get him on the show to find out what the People's Time mean. But he had those two great ideas, and you know, if you have a CEO for the government, mm-hmm. you need to have a CEO for the economy as well.
I think you're right, and I really like the title that Brent Simonette has this time, because it combines so many things that should have gone together for a very long time. So it combines trade and industry and immigration, and you know, you can't think of one separate from the other.
You got to think across the economy.
So I agree with you. The governments are there to set policy, but not make the business decisions.
Correct. Get out of the way.
So to regulate, so that you protect what is there for preserving for future generations. You oversee only in terms of fairness, security, cleanliness, etc. You don't actually do that work yourself. You just make sure that it meets a certain standard.
Right, and you do things that make sense. All right, so let me ask you. Let me just pick your brain live on the spot right now.
You always do.
Yeah. I pick your brain live on the spot. So, I didn't get a clear sense of what the meeting in Bimini was about when you were talking.
Okay, I probably interrupted myself.
Right. People accuse me of that all the time on this show. So, the idea of the town meeting was
to hear what Resorts World Bimini's plans were and to express their concerns, because the waters in Bimini have already changed. There are fewer fish. You can't find a sawfish shark anymore. The colors of the water have already changed. The dredging operation, you know, where does it end? Where does government come in? So there was...
And this proven science, it is just gossip from Save the Bay for other people. This proven science where people are saying...
Oh, yeah. The most powerful spokespeople there were the fishermen,
right,
the people who guide, who do bonefish tours, shark tours, you know, the people who make their living.
So they say those things went away in that area.
And that they had seen changes in the last year that were greater than changes that generations before them had seen.
That's scary. We need to explore that. We need now scientific evidence now to confirm what's going on.
And people were saying, well, you're blaming Resorts World Bimini for things that that you know RAV did, or I don't want to mention too many names.
But, no, I got you.
But it's all one huge development, whether it's the residential component or the hotel component. I mean, you're there in Bimini, which is a pretty flat island, and you see many of the coral reefs have been destroyed. They were destroyed by the dredging for the ferry dock. The ferry dock is now unused.
Mm-hmm.
It sits there like a statue to something that never should have been. But anyway, it's a very sad sight. And then you see this Hilton. You can see the Hilton from a long ways away.
The Hilton Hotel.
Hilton Hotel. And I just have to say, it looks so out of place. The perspective is all wrong. You're in Bimini. The beauty of Bimini is the waters. It's the laid-back
culture.
The whole
country. The whole country.
Oh, and I was at an historic place. A woman invited us back, several of us back, because we hadn't been able to have any dinner. She said, I think I've got some cheese and crackers at the house. So, and we found ourselves in what used to be, I had no idea this was ever there, what used to be a 150-room hotel in Bimini.
Interesting.
During Prohibition era,
Bimini was in Bimini, in the country.
The first casino was in Bimini.
Right,
and it's now what is left of it is now a private home that has been, the old swimming pool is still there. It was dug right into the out of the coral.
Right.
It's incredible.
Interesting. All right, and the last thing I want to ask you about is, now this is just a pure business thing, right? So you're a government. You've got one asset that's valuable, just generating revenue. You've got a ton of debt. Would you take the one asset that you are that's generating revenue and sell that to put something on your debt, and then you've got no more cap room now to do any other thing? Would you do that kind of thing?
Now, since you're talking about BTC,
right? you don't have to make it specific to BTC. I'm just saying, you're a businesswoman. You got Diane Phillips and Associates. You owe RBC. You owe this one a bunch of money that you can't pay.
He didn't mean that, guys.
No. Yeah, this is a hypothetical situation. You can't pay off this debt. You got one asset now. You got one client that you're generating money from.
I'll tell you exactly what I would do.
Would you take that client and put on your debt?
I would not sell the asset unless I believed that someone else could improve that asset, and I didn't have the money to bring it up to what it needed to be brought up to compete in a modern world.
You didn't answer my question, but anyway, let's bring in our guests. We can deal with that next week.
Okay, yeah, we got some great guests in here.
We can deal with that next week.
Just sitting on their hands waiting. Okay,
see,
my turn soon.
See, in this show, you can't talk till you get introduced. This is how we run this show.
This is how Lester runs the show. Right. I would have just introduced you right off. I'm so happy to see you.
Right. But you see, folks, we got a special treat for you today. We got the Historical Society in the house, and you know, they think they come here to talk about history, but I got some other thoughts.
Lester. Boy, your mother must have had a hard time with you.
Everybody. Folks, we've got Andrea Mitchell in the studio. Andrea is the president of the Bahamas Historical Society. Andrea, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
No, I'm glad you're here. I see you got plenty pictures.
Yes, I was told what the topic would be, but like, I'm prepared to discuss
No, see,
things.
This show... We just run this live on the spot.
Okay.
We don't do the best radio. You know, look how people do talk show, right? Okay. They always talk about, oh, we had a great conversation off it. No.
Okay.
On this show, they do everything live.
All right.
And folks, we also have Skiba Roberts in the house. Brother Roberts, welcome to the show.
Good morning. This is not usually my time to be up to be talking, but
Yeah, you sound like you got one of the best voices in the Bahamas.
Doesn't
you know that,
he
right?
though? Doesn't he?
I'm telling you,
it's incredible.
Yeah,
thank you.
Guys like you, you don't want you talking to your girlfriend or your boy. But Skiba, welcome to the show, man.
The pleasure is mine.
I didn't realize you were involved with the Historical Society.
Yes, I have been with them now, what, six, seven years, thereabouts.
Skiba has a remarkable memory for everything historic in the Bahamas. This is natural. And so I was actually looking up a couple of things that I found fascinating. And one of them was that there was a record year many, many years ago, over 100 years ago, because the Bahamas lured a total of 500 tourists here.
Yes.
Bahamas what?
Lured. 500.
Oh, lured. All right.
500 tourists.
What year was that?
1875. Yeah, 1875. And the government, well, the governor then, we didn't have a government, but the governor, whose name was Robinson, said, you know, this was such an incredible record crowd that the Bahamas should try to attract some of the 100,000 tourists who were visiting Florida because we could tap into that market.
Right. Interesting. Interesting.
Well, the idea of tourism and health, particularly health tourism, goes back even further than that, because it was long recognized when tuberculosis and some of the other diseases were prevalent in individuals up in the north. They were advised to come down the tropics, the subtropics,
and they had to come by steamship.
So, yes. And they came here,
which
and
was
they
Cunard.
Yeah.
And there was a Mr. Cunard who actually had the steamship.
We've always sort of recognized the health effect, the environment.
So the location was always an important part of what we did.
Yes,
and you know, that's one of the reasons that the Royal Victoria Hotel was built, and it was built by Flagler, who was kind of the czar of Florida tourism as well. But he was also approached to come here and build a hotel, and partially it was for people who stayed for extended periods of time. They also stayed in that property on Victoria Avenue.
The Victoria Hotel, or your
no, not the Royal Vic. I'm talking about Royal Vic. But you know the property that is now a condominium. It's 4 or 5 stories, and it's pink with a beautiful white trim
on Elizabeth Avenue.
Elizabeth, what, no, do you remember the?
It's not Elizabeth. It's the one before
Victoria.
Yeah. Well, between Elizabeth and Victoria, in the old days, you entered it more or less. Well, from both ways, actually. Yeah.
But that was actually the Lyford Key of its era. People would arrive with steamship, you know, by steamship with trunks, and they would stay for the winter for their health and to enjoy the fresh air.
Well, since we're going to go on history, too, I invite all of you, if you get the chance, to visit that building and look at the workmanship, the masonry of building.
Yeah.
The interior of that, the finished work is absolutely marvelous.
And it's nice that it was redone. The people who lived there took it upon themselves to redo it, maybe 10, 12 years or 15 years ago?
More than that.
because it had actually fallen. It had actually fallen on very hard times, and at one time was largely a brothel. So it went from being
a what?
Did I say that wrong? Brothel. Oh, we don't have those in the Bahamas. I'm sorry.
Was it like an organized and legal brothel or just like an illegal thing?
We never had legal brothels.
Oh, all right. It's just illegal. But we had legal casinos at one point, right?
Yes, we did.
Interesting. Interesting. See, now, this is why I was reading Angela Claire's book, and I remember her saying something in that book about Flagler and the then government of the Bahamas contracting with him to bring people here by
about 100 years ago this time. So.
Right. And you see, and this is why sometimes I have a challenge with how we talk about our history. You know, we talk about our tourism like as if Stafford Sands
started it.
And obviously, if you listen to you guys, it goes back further.
Of course it does. To give credit to Sir Stafford, I think he arrived at a period and he introduced all of the other things that were there to make the product better.
Right. He was an innovator. He was an innovator, not a creator. People need to talk about it properly.
Yeah. Well, I think that there are two things. You know, we talk about innovative disruptors
right. When
we're talking about business. So a Facebook, for instance, or a Microsoft or a Google, they're a disruptor, and that's a good thing. What he did was he saw something that had potential, and he expanded it. He made two brilliant decisions. One is he pegged the new Bahamian currency to the U.S. dollar. So that was a decision.
Now, that's brilliant because they recognized that our major trading partner was America and not England.
Not the U.K.
Right.
The second thing is he spent a lot of money. He took in a lot of money. But he also realized that you had to spend money. So if you translate what was the value of the pound sterling at that time to what he spent in tourism, I could be wrong, but I figured it out that it was about $600,000 a year, which in those days was huge money to promote tourism.
Wow. So
let me see if I can get this right with Di. I say that's a big word and a disruptor.
Innovative disruptor.
Yeah, I like that. So his key contribution was pegging the currency, recognizing who we were trading with.
And realizing you had to spend the money if you were going to attract the people. They weren't just going to find you because you were a fabulous place to go.
Right, so he realized that if you invest a dollar in marketing and you're going to get $3 back, you should keep investing that dollar because it just made business sense.
And Arthur Foulkes was the long-serving minister of tourism who did a brilliant job before Clement Maynard too. So we've had some good thinkers.
Interesting. Well, and so that's why we should be careful how we complain about these concessions. If you give somebody a concession for $1 and that concession is going to bring you $5, you should not complain about that $1.
You should also involve the local community, though, in making the decision about what you're going to do because it's going to affect them. It's going to affect their children, their culture, their fish, their everything in that community.
You're not
going to
have any argument from me on that point.
Great. And I'm very, very interested now in some of the historic sites because I'm so happy that this prime minister is actually taking an interest
in historic sites.
Taking the time to go around. And I know that Andrea has brought some photos with her. Andrea, I was just up at Blackbeard's Tower about a month ago or a month and a half ago.
That's not accessible to the public anymore.
Hold on.
I've got the photos right here.
Let's take a break and we can ask Andrea about that when we come back. Now, Andrea, let me ask you, you know anything about BTC and the history around that? You know anything about that?
BTC and the what?
And the history around telecommunications?
No, I don't remember too much right now.
I'm older than you, so I remember that. In 1891, they ran the first cable between Cable Beach.
Across a cable beach
into Jupiter, Florida.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we weren't afraid to make those kind of communication investments.
It was underwater. When you think about what that took to do that in those days, running from Cable Beach to Jupiter, Florida, and it allowed not only messages to go back and forth between the United States and the Bahamas, but occasionally you could actually get a message to the UK.
Right. This is why I like talking about history sometimes. You know, when you understand your history, it gives you confidence to project further into the future.
But see, in the old days, they taught all about that in Bahama Host. Now, I don't know if they've deleted it, because I taught Bahama Host for about 7 years.
Interesting.
But it all of that was included. And another thing about Stafford Sands, he exported our entertainment to Europe.
Yeah, he exported stars as well. So Di, you need to add a third thing to
yes,
that list.
Yes, thank you.
Folks, you listen to Connected with Lester Harcox. Today's show brought to you by Menchie's, BTC, and Rose Auto. We got the great Skibo Roberts in the house, Mr. Barry White. We got Andrea Major. We got Ida's woman, Di Phillips. Back in a moment.
Rose Auto Parts and Accessories. For auto parts and more, don't roll with the punches anymore. Rely on Rose Auto Parts and Accessories. Find the largest selection of starters, alternators, brake parts, and water pumps, even heavy-duty truck parts. We now carry hardware, electrical, and plumbing, and lawn and garden supplies, too. At Rose Auto Parts and Accessories, East Street South, call us at 392-1122 or 3. We're open 7 days a week from Monday to Saturday from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and on Sundays from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Everywhere you go, know this for sure. Hey! Family's got your back for real. Can you see the possibilities? Cause we're limitless. Oh, yeah. It's how we live. We're family.
Part of the BTC family, the possibilities are limitless. BTC, the bigger, better network.
Looking for the friendliest place on earth with a mission to make every guest smile? Look no further than Menchie's at the top of the Hill Plaza, Mackey Street, where we offer high-quality, delicious, self-serve frozen yogurt with over 100 rotating flavors of soft serve and more than 70 mix-and-match toppings. We're sure to become a family favorite. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Menchie's Bahamas or call us at 677-2893 to find out more.
Menchie's, we make you smile.
This is what you came for.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Fundamentally, I have spent 3.5 decades of my life devoted to one and only one idea, and that idea is business is not drab, dry, dreary, by the numbers. It is energetic, it's about passion, it's about creativity, it's about service, it's about growth, and so on and so forth, and the numbers are fine. I love profit. I don't even love profit, I love obscene profit. Because if profit is obscene, guess what you can do? Hire the world's most fantastic people and take the most extraordinary and interesting risks known to humankind. Now, you've seen this on t-shirts, you've seen it on posters, you've seen it on cards and stores, and I don't care if you've seen it 18,000 times. This is 18,001, because it deserves to be repeated. Michelangelo, the greatest danger for most of us is not that our aim is too high and that we miss it, but that it is too low and we reach it. It is a failure of imagination that trips most of us up, not a failure to reach some finish line. Now look, I'm average at a lot of things, and I'm below average at a lot of things, okay? But I do not wake up in the morning and say to my wife or somebody like that, have an average day, honey. I mean, the notion of aspiring to an average day, whether you are a housekeeper or a software designer or a chief financial officer, makes me want to barf. You know, the aspiration of excellence will not always be achieved.
White lips, pale face, breathing in snowflakes, burnt lungs, sour taste. Lights gone, days end, struggling to pay rent, long nights.
Yeah, folks, welcome back to Connected. You know, folks, you know, Joan Sawyer was on the show yesterday, Justice Joan Sawyer, and she gave me a word. I can't even remember it right now. But Di, take the cake today. Disruptive innovation.
Joan Sawyer was great yesterday. What a super show that was.
But Di, disruptive innovation. Mm-hmm. So Stafford Sands begged a dollar. Uh-huh. Great.
Yes.
Wasn't afraid to spend money on marketing because he knew marketing brought you more money.
Right.
And then he let the world know that we had some stars in the Bahamas.
Yes.
Some local stars.
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out, Andrea. That was great. We have so much potential with tourism that has spillover or connecting potential with other industries. Skibo was just mentioning medical tourism. Before, it wasn't considered medical, it was considered health. Okay. You know, if you, and especially in the days when tuberculosis was raging and polio, and it was sort of like either go to the Fountain of Youth in St. Augustine, and Florida, or come to the Bahamas and get in that salt air and salt water and see that blue sky. And of course, you're going to feel better than you would if you're, you know, in a clogged city, industrialized, right, with a lot of
But so, Steve and Andre, we got to get back to stuff like that as well, because there are so many persons who could come to the Bahamas to train to do all sorts of things.
Well, let me tell you, I'm the president of the Bahamas Historical Society for the past 3 years,
right?
And the emissions on Bay Street is drastic. Our building is full of soot. You can paint it this week, and in a month or 6 weeks,
it's gray. It's gray again. Yeah.
I mean, literal oil and the fumes that come from the jitneys, those big trucks that are belching out
all the more reason to establish local government. This is the second peg of everything because then you have control over it. So you say the jitney stops will be here. There will be shuttle buses that could be electric or solar,
right,
or solar charged electric vehicles that go throughout the historic part of the city.
But you can't say local. I learned this from a guy named Aaron Knowles, right? He is one of the great political minds in this country.
Aaron
Kiki Knowles. You know what he told me? He said, bro, stop talking about city government like that. What you got to say is, you got to say enhance local government. Mm-hmm. See, enhance local government is city government.
Yes, as long as there's a manager or a mayor or someone who is not just the figurehead, but the point person.
Got some power.
Because right now we elect people, but the main decisions are still made at central government.
Can you imagine that?
The cabinet still makes the decisions, and most of those decisions are made before they even reach the cabinet level.
Right. But,
can I say something there?
First of all, you're on radio, right? Whenever we take a break, whenever we take a breath, you got to talk. Andre, the same thing.
Jump
in the conversation.
It isn't that we don't have people who have ultimate responsibility for these things. My problem is that the people who have responsibilities for these things in government, and the fact that we do have the executive branch, though they are not holding the departments responsible, okay, for doing their job, and the people, the civil servants, are not doing their jobs because they have been accustomed to ministers telling them what to do.
I think you're partially right, Skibo. I want to give you an example, though, of where there's such an overlap that no action can be taken. I asked a police officer the other day what he or she, I won't say whether he or she, was going to do about these three Surrey horses that were operating between 1 and 3 when they're supposed to be in their rest period. And this police officer said to me, "We can't do anything." I said, "Why can't you do it? Are you aware of the statute?" She said, "I'm sorry, well, I did say it was a she." Okay, so she said, "Yes. But we can't act on it." I said, "Well, why can't you act on it?" She said, "Because the Surrey horses are actually under the control of the Port Department. Now, the Port Department is not going to come out onto the street where the police officer is to say that that horse has to be at rest." So you're caught in this conundrum where you've got overlapping responsibility, and there's no person you can go to or no body you can go to and say, This cannot continue the way it is.
Well, I don't go to all the people concerned.
And I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. You see, I was once the chief health officer of this country.
You were?
I was.
When was that?
Back in 87. 87 when I resigned, and then I went into private industry.
So hold on, Charles Carter was Minister of Health? Who was the minister?
Norman Gay. But might have been, I think was. But I left health and went to Resource International. I never would have been able to educate my children if I hadn't. But the point is that when you are given responsible and leadership, it is incumbent upon you as the leader to make or help the people above you make the best decisions. And sometimes you have to walk, sometimes you have to talk, and you have to do extra things to get things done. I'd like to think that when I was there, I didn't have a quote-unquote fear factor.
Mm-hmm.
I was very secure, I think, in who I was and what I was, and I didn't have a problem approaching my permanent secretary, who was Mr. Williams, and the minister, who was Norman Gay, and talking about issues. Now, I admit we did not have the volume of problems that we have today. We had a smaller population then. Things weren't.
And you didn't have Zika or chikungunya or dengue or any of the things.
We didn't have that kind of problem, I agree.
Not
but
to
the
mention
fact
AIDS
is that once you're given the responsibility as the chief advisor to the minister and the permanent secretary, you must be in their face, on their doorsteps. You must be complaining. And that is what a head of a department is supposed to do.
All right. Well, there's a big chasm between what a person is supposed to do and what often happens, right?
I agree with that. But we cannot just sit back and allow to go back to one of your babies, Diane, which is the environment, which is, like I say, that's the area in which I'm trained professionally. Okay, so it's one of those things that if we start talking about it, I'll be here all day.
We need to talk about history and historic sites. Now, Andrea, you brought photos of some quite remarkable buildings. These are buildings where the walls must have been like 2 feet thick, right?
Yes, well, over the years, I've always had a great interest in what is historic and, of course, anything to do with preservation in this country. So I've worked for places like the National Cultural Development Commission, the Antiquities Corporation, and now volunteering at the Bahamas Historical Society.
That's operative word, volunteer.
But because of the love of history, and the world comes to us, literally, to the Bahamas Historical Society. So we give them an overview of the history of the Bahamas, we give them some modern history, and of course there's a lot of tours going on, we do it for school children. Presently, the museum is free. We're soon going to have to charge. We know that, just to get on.
How do you get your funding? How do you keep it
very
open?
Very little funding, mostly from membership and from our annual journals. We publish a journal once a year.
Okay.
It's a very good journal.
Yes.
So you should have brought
it. I have one.
Where is it?
I have one. You want it?
Yes, please.
Here it is.
Let me take a look at it.
Okay. Tell us about some of the. I realize our viewers can't see these photos, but
okay, I see a camera over there.
Let me take a picture.
This is a picture of the chapel that's replicated in the Garden of the Groves in Grand Bahama. You know, they had the lumber mill.
Yes,
my husband was born there, so we went through the bushes looking for this church where he was christened. But it's a shame. It's still a beautiful church. The roof is off. It's made of stone, just like the one you see in the Garden of the Groves, but it's in the bush.
Storm could blow
that down.
It's a beautiful building.
Wow.
Why aren't we? The street names were still on the trees. Well, the train tracks are still
in
through
Blackbeard's
there.
Tower, where I shared those photos with you a few minutes ago, when I traipsed up there the other day, and that is on private property, you could still see the engraving where they carved Blackbeard Tower. You can see the actual words, and that stone building is still there, although the steps are decrepit and there's no roof and
I wish we could really get a picture of that one day, because you know it would also remind us of our pirate past as well.
There are lots of pictures of that, though. There are truly lots of pictures. But another thing I'd like to that is really making me very sad is the DeVoe plantation in Cat Island. There's so many, at least 26 major plantations in Cat Island.
Mm-hmm.
And one time we took a trip down there and visited quite a few of them. But this one in particular, I've been taking pictures of this over the years.
Let me get a picture of your face as well.
Goats and the sheep have taken it over inside. The roof has fallen in. The partition to make the upstairs from the downstairs is broken down, and I've watched this thing come down over the years.
Right, and the crop from that plantation was what they used to grow there.
This was the DeVoe plantation.
Yeah, what they used to grow at the plantation.
Initially, cotton. That is what they decided. That's what most of the plantations. That was the crop, cash crop.
Okay.
At the time, Unfortunately, about cotton, topsoil unable to accommodate and sustain that kind
of. So none of the cotton trees are still left nowadays?
You may find some in the bush.
Yeah. Yeah. You can go on Infantview Road and you'll find one. It's just growing there.
But the thing about this is, when are we going to stop it? Because we can still restore it. I mean, when you go inside, it's beautiful. Windows inside, you can see straight through from one end to the end. The architecture is amazing.
Same thing with Colin's house. If you go inside Colin's house and you go in the middle of July when it's so hot outside you think you're just going to die, and mm-hmm. go into Colin's house and the breeze cool, blows right. all the way through.
That's where the PM was yesterday?
Yes. Right. The Antiquities Corporation is headquartered there.
Well, they're not in Colin's house, though. We should tell them.
No, they're in the compound.
Right. But Colin's house was so far ahead of its time. You know, absolutely. 200 years old the building is, approximately. And it actually had an interior or internal vacuum system that went all the way up all four floors from the basement all the way to the top.
That's Colin's house. See, this is why I love this kind of show. History could inform the present. And we don't do enough of that.
The potential for this. Right. We've talked about social entrepreneurship. We did that on the last show that I was on. Remember the guys from Akiva?
Yeah, right.
The Nigerian man who had suffered malaria four times by the time he was 10, and he was determined to find a cure. And the cure was not let mosquitoes bite you. And so at 10 years old, he became a nerd, and he developed this thing. It wasn't very good, but he did develop a lotion. And then years later, he got back to it, and he said, I am going to do this, and I'm going to create a company that will save 200,000 lives a year. The product was launched last week in the Bahamas as the first market in the world. It will be in the U.S. by year end. It'll be in Brazil in another month or two. At any rate, the concept is social entrepreneurship, that you can do well while you are doing good. So these historic sites seem to me to lend themselves perfectly to that kind of thing. State regulations require that you not tear them down, but you can lease them. This is the way I'm hoping the government will go. But you can lease them. Show us a good business plan. Show us that you have the financial wherewithal to carry out that plan. If you want to do it as a bed and breakfast, if you want to do it as a restaurant, if you want to do it as entertainment complex. You know,
this is why you need to get your mayor. We shouldn't be talking about these things with the prime minister and the cabinet. We need to get serious in the Bahamas, man.
Well, we have to start somewhere, because some people are not even sensitive to these things, and that is the thing that really irks me. We have to be sensitive to the history, the culture, the preservation.
I think also the fact that we now have a university and you have young people, young active minds,
right,
who are prepared to collaborate with other universities and individuals who come and do the study. We have the museum, Antiquities Museum, that department. I think all of them coming together, identifying and going along with others, private industry, to develop, to renovate and develop these properties, I think that would be a good thing. I think as we grow, we will begin to appreciate more what we have.
Right, Skipper. Let me ask you. So your historic mind. Do we have any history in the Bahamas where we have small enclaves that had their own organization, their own, like, you know, they had their own, like, area?
Well, if you want to talk about small operators, I mean, our clubs, our lodge clubs.
All right, lodges,
okay, societies and whatnot.
The burial societies.
The burial societies there. If you read and think of our social history, they have contributed so much to who we are, particularly the Black nationalist movement and development. Because had it not been for people like that, okay, who were able to be their own little entrepreneurs, who developed and helped one another. That is what Grahamstown and Fox Hill and
so semi-autonomous community.
These are the old communities of our past, mm-hmm. where, like I said, most of our Black leadership emanated from.
Right, and obviously they were able to grow in this Stafford Sands star-driven tourism model, but today, that just don't happen.
Well, no, it isn't. It isn't happening like it was then. Right. You must understand that the country was run and operated differently. So mm-hmm. Stafford had carte blanche to do just about any and everything that he wanted to
like
do.
Like the Prime Minister today?
Not so much. the Prime Minister.
Maybe something the Prime Minister won't do that he can't do in this one.
Well, right now, I think as a result of recent revelations, the Prime Minister's feet will be held to the fire. I don't think this Prime Minister will have nearly the freedom that other Prime Ministers
But he still could do primarily whatever he wants to do.
Well, another thing with history, too, we perpetuate, that's the Bahamas Historical Society, perpetuate the history of the Bahamas. Next Thursday, we're having a lecture on the African slave trade, agriculture, and the Caribbean. And Dr. Right. Godfrey Ennis is going to tie that together. That's the 29th. It's a free lecture to the public.
What's the time?
6 p.m. at the Bahamas Historical Society.
Give a number to call as well.
322-4231 or 424-3107.
Do schools ever arrange to attend these lectures? Do they bring a classroom full of kids to the lectures?
Sometimes we invite, but they don't come. I guess it's getting the kids out at night. It may be a private school who has a bus.
If you did those lectures at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or something to get school tours.
Schools do come tours.
They do tours.
Andre and I will give special tours to schools when they come.
They book in advance.
All right, folks, you're listening to Andre Major, Skibo Roberts, Di Phillips. Back in a moment.
Rolls Auto Parts and Accessories. For auto parts and more, don't roll with the punches anymore. Rely on Rolls Auto Parts and Accessories. Find the largest selection of starters, alternators, brake parts, and water pumps, even heavy-duty truck parts. We now carry hardware, electrical, and plumbing, and lawn garden supplies, too. At Rolls Auto Parts and Accessories, East Street South, call us at 392-1122 or 3. We're open 7 days a week from Monday to Saturday from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and on Sundays from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Sometimes family takes a while to get it. But when they do, there's no holding back. That's why postpaid just got limitless at BTC, with limitless international calls to the USA and Canada. Plus, more talk, more text, and more data. It's the limitless postpaid plan. You asked? You got it. Because when you're part of the BTC family, the possibilities are limitless. BTC, the bigger, better network.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Yeah, folks, I want to get off the world. I want to get away from some of these bad old-timer ideas. Good morning, Lester. We need truth and reconciliation. And then they get this, my boy, Professor Tinker. No, I'm not going to read that part. The poor and middle class players all pay taxes. These people trying to kill jobs. No, we're not going to read the rest of that. Hey, Lester, the PLP business partners won the election and they don't have nothing to answer to. Now watch the mess that the FNM is going to... Oh, that one is clear for me.
These must be from yesterday, Lester. These people's slogans,
yeah,
do
I'm
you?
Telling you? No, after we sold BTC, we have gone eight straight downgrades? I don't know. Eight straight down the train.
I'm not sure how you make that connection. That's a little bit of a stretch.
I don't get that one. But we got Di Phillips in studio, Skibo Roberts, Andrea Major.
I think what we're seeing today and what we've seen in a lot of recent shows is the tremendous potential that's there. I mean, it's like it's locked and almost ready to erupt. And I'm very excited about it.
Me too. I think we have an opportunity now to have a real conversation about our society and economy.
Could we please have a real conversation about the water tower?
The water tower?
Yes, I have been in a public service driver because I have my own car, my own taxi. for many, many years.
Even to this day?
Even to this day. I did it for at least 12 years exclusively. Wow. I love that job.
See, I always want to know, how come you all taxi oriented. Drivers just get all...
No, I'm not a taxi driver. I'm a tour car driver. I'm a public service driver. I'm a tourism specialist.
Right. But see, I want to know how come you all have all... I want to know how come those taxi people have all the preferred spaces downtown.
That's okay, just... I can tell you that story later. Yeah.
But let's finish with the
water tower.
Water tower. Of course, we forget. Right. The water tower is one of the most visited and most coveted attractions in this country.
And
this
when it was our country. When it was
to this day.
When it was operational and you could go to the top, yes. And there was a 360 yes. degree view. You
of
could see completely
island.
Every yes. bit of water on both sides.
Another
remarkable
thing. There was some talk many, many years ago when it was closed off to the public, and that's been about 12 years now. There was some talk about renovating it. And I said, the first thing we should consider doing is putting glass elevators going to the top and mm-hmm. coming down.
And you could do that on the exterior
because
they're
saying,
talking
on the
about
outside, they're else.
Right. They're talking about how much it would cost.
So that one could be privatized. Let's make that happen.
We don't have to be privatized, but still, we should make that happen.
I mean,
you don't want government building
modern,
a glass elevator.
It isn't a bad idea if you look at it from Andres. I don't particularly like it because that would detract from what is, I think, a most beautiful edifice of our past.
No, you can make it. And
you could definitely do it in a way that preserves the history. Can you imagine being married up there? If it could be a wedding
Absolutely.
Setting.
Not only that, but you going up, it's so beautiful to see it because now the elevator was in the interior. What do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Except where the pigeons are pooping.
Yeah. Well, I did it the hard way. I walked up
that,
the I walked up the steps.
That's because it hasn't been maintained properly.
You got up all the steps to the very top.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Also in there, there's a great space for a museum, mm-hmm. and I have reported that for years. There's an excellent space.
Make that a Bahamas Historical Society project. But we got to leave it right there today. Okay. Skiba Roberts, always a pleasure, bro.
The pleasure was mine to be here, especially first thing in the morning.
How your show going, man?
Listen, it is one of the great, wonderful things of my existence. The fact that I could go to work and play music that people love and then get off and feel happy.
Well, you're doing well.
Thank you.
Andres, pleasure meeting you as well.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me on your show. And perhaps you can have us back. By ourselves.
Anytime, man. Look here. I love history, and I love to link history to the normal facts of
and
the
come
day.
And come and visit the museum.
Now that may be it. That may be
it. It would be our pleasure to give you a personal.
That
may
be it. Y'all got parking?
Yes. Yeah, and I could take you at night.
We may be able to work that out.
Okay.
That is always a pleasure, man. You always a bundle of ideas.
Well, I love having the different guests that we have, and I appreciate the fact that you allow me to invite the people for Friday, so it makes it very special. And guess what? On the 14th of July, we have Ace Newbold.
You don't know what today is.
July 14th? I don't know.
What day is today? It's June what?
23rd. Today is the 23rd.
Right, but 23rd. So you know how far the July is from you?
Listen, everybody out there, Lester doesn't plan the way I do.
Can I say one more thing? May I be allowed to
go ahead, quickly,
self-promotion?
Yeah.
Skibo Roberts, beautiful play, 13th to the 16th of July, A Woman's Lot, beautiful play, come out and see it.
Where?
The Dundas Center for the Performing Arts.
Time.
8 o'clock.
Folks, Skibo Roberts, Andre Major.
You're going to self-promote. You need to learn how to self-promote, Skibo.
Lester Cox and your company. Colin Smith is up next.
Stop the world.